So this is the feminine heroic. The portrayal of the feminine heroic often juxtaposes suffering and strength. Consider Cleopatra and the Asp, the wounded Amazon warrior sculptures of ancient Greece, or Artemisia Gentileschi's 1620 masterpiece, Judith Slaying Holofernes. The painting shows Judith murdering the lustful Holofernes in his sleep after luring him with her feminine guile. Gentileschi was known for the way she humanized strong women characters and imbued them with raw emotional intensity. She allowed Judith's startling physicality, a furrowed brow, tense forearms, the lethal wielding of a weapon. The painting is widely accepted as a masterpiece of revenge. Inspired by Gentileschi's rape at 18 by her father's colleague, Agostino Tassi, who was convicted at trial but never punished. In the painting, Judith radiates rage, suffering, and strength. She's the hero, full of agency, and blood on her hands. I was told in grade school that there are three conflicts in narrative: man versus man versus himself, and man versus nature. Man versus nature, a traditional adventure narrative with an easily identifiable hero, often features a man overcoming nature via dominance or violence, such as in The Way of Hemingway, or serious contemplation like Thoreau. But where was woman versus nature? One of the pleasures or necessities of adventure, going deep into the wild, is to flee what has become ordinary or unbearable. Women have not always been entitled to that freedom, however, and even the pursuit of simple solitude has required a dramatic break from convention. In the Middle Ages, for instance, when it was illegal for women to live alone, reclusive women could be found living in cemeteries, churches, underneath bridges, on mountains, and around city gates. In Italy, women like Margherita Colonna lived in caves until becoming sponsored hermits under religious institutions. Christina of Mary Kate, born in 1097, was a notable recluse and religious figure. Christina's mother claimed to know her daughter would one day become holy because a dove had flown into her sleeve, she said, while she was pregnant, and it had lived there for 7 days. Watch out for that. Christina was a particularly religious child, believing that she talked to Jesus as if he were a man whom she could see. When she was a teenager, a bishop attempted to force himself on her, but she successfully rebuffed him. Later, her parents arranged a marriage with a nobleman and offered him access to her bedroom. She escaped when a female hermit named Edwine, disguised as a man, brought her to an abbess who hid her from her family. She eventually became a prioress of St. Albans. Perhaps some early eremitic women, as devout as they might have been, were not running toward Christ, but away from life as it had become. And if they needed relief, respite, communion with the divine, or a chance to play the protagonist of their own lives, they had to take great risks to claim it. In the mid-50s, Emma Grandma Gatewood, 67 years old and the mother of 11 children, became the first woman to hike the Appalachian Trail. She carried her gear in a homemade knapsack and slept under a shower curtain. She wore KEDS. Emma was a survivor of domestic abuse. She had been nearly beaten to death by her husband, more than once. And when she divorced him, he threatened to commit her to an insane asylum. In 1955, she turned to her kids and simply told them, "I'm going on a walk." We've all been there. She completed the 2,168-mile trail 3 times, the last when she was 75 years old. In the 60s, Audrey Sutherland, who was raising 4 children alone in Oahu, would leave for weeks at a time to take solo expeditions. She explored the northern coast, swimming in jeans and pulling her camping gear behind her in an army bag. From 1980 to 2003, she explored over 8,000 miles of waterways in Alaska and British Columbia, traveling with an inflatable kayak. Lists detailing the best of adventure narratives, even like National Geographic's, are still noticeably short on women, particularly women of color or LGBTQ writers. It's already difficult for female adventurers to receive equal sponsorships and book deals from major publishing outlets, but non-white and non-Western women are represented even less. Lakpa Sherpa, a victim of domestic violence working as a housekeeper in Connecticut, has summited Everest 7 times, more than any other woman in history, and yet remains largely unknown. The much written about Afghani women's cycling team lost sponsorship after their coach was accused of corruption and marrying and divorcing 3 of the young cyclists. Reading a book about erotic energy recently, I came across the notion that humans crave both security and novelty, and the two instincts are opposed. For me, this is a constant negotiation, the desire to be safe and the desire to be stimulated. In order to live a fully human life, Adrienne Rich said, we require not only control of our bodies, though control is a prerequisite. We must touch the unity and resonance of our physicality, our bond with the natural order, the corporeal grounds of our intelligence.